Cha.
In any place.
In any place.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Kutuchit.
Kutuchit.
At any time.
Any time.
Ba.
Ba.
Or.
Or.
Dina.
Dina.
Having a poor fund of knowledge.
Having a poor fund of knowledge.
Spam.
Spam.
On.
Om.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
Self.
Self.
Alam.
Alam.
Exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Samartha.
Samartha.
Able.
Able.
Vimochitam.
Vimochitam.
To liberate.
To liberate.
Kamadrisham.
Kamadrisham.
Of lusty women.
Of lusty women.
Vihara.
Vihara.
In the sexual enjoyment.
Of the sexual enjoyment.
Kridamriga.
Kridamriga.
A playboy.
A playboy.
Yet.
Yet.
In whom?
In whom?
Nigada.
Nigada.
Which is the shackle of material bondage.
Which is the shackle of material bondage.
Visarga.
Visarga.
The expansions of family relationships.
Expansions of family relationships.
Tata.
Tata.
In such circumstances.
In such circumstances.
Vidurat.
Vidurat.
From far away.
From far away.
Pariritya.
Pariritya.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Daitya.
Daitya.
All my friends, sons of the demons.
All my friends, sons of the demons.
Daityeshu.
Daityeshu.
Among the demons.
Among the demons.
Sangam.
Sangam.
Association.
Association.
Vishaya Atmakeshu.
Vishaya Atmakeshu.
Who are too addicted to sense enjoyment.
Who are too addicted to sense enjoyment.
Upeta,
Upeta,
one should approach.
One should approach.
Narayanam,
Narayanam,
Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Adidevam,
Adidevam,
the origin of all the demigods.
The origin of all the demigods.
Sa,
Sa,
he,
he,
Muktasangai,
Muktasangai,
by the association of liberated persons.
By the association of liberated persons.
Ishita,
Ishita,
desired.
Desired.
Apavarga,
Apavarga.
The path of liberation.
The path of liberation.
Translation. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one, bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are the sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the origin of all the demigods. Because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence. And again, can I read the purport?
Purport. Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitvatma patam riham andha kupam vanam gatoyad darim ashriyat ashriyata. In this verse also, he stresses the point. He stresses the same point. In the history of the human society, no one at any time or any place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for his family. Even those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their family, even in old age or invalidity, for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, yan matam dati riyamedi sukam hi tusham, so-called householders are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. Thus they keep themselves shackled in family life. And furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way, playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women. They glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta gobir vishatam tamishram puna punas Charanarvindam. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chewing the chewed, and therefore descend to the darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus, one will be able to be liberated from material bondage.
So while I'm here, I'll read from this section. Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. We can first recall the setting. This is Prahlad Maharaj, the great Mahajan devotee of Lord Krishna, who learned about Krishna from his spiritual master, who is narrating this, Narada Muni. So the soul is pure, and the soul can contact Krishna in any condition. And Prahlad, he revived his Krishna consciousness in the womb of his mother. He was not even born. And another extraordinary thing is, he is the son of the greatest, one of the greatest demons and atheists in history. Great devotee son of a great atheist father. In fact, when he was addressing his father, he would address him, "Oh, best of the asuras." So Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to perform austerities and get immortality, get power. When he went off to perform those austerities, his kingdom became scattered without his leadership. And the demigods came, and they were taking away his wife, who was pregnant. So they said, "Pregnant means that she'll have a demon son. So we'll keep her and then kill this son." So Narada came there and said, "No, this son, you can't kill, because although he's born of a demon mother, I know that he is going to be a great devotee." So he took the mother to his ashram and protected her and spoke Krishna Katha to her. And the real benefit was for Prahlad Maharaj, who heard this. So then Hiranyakashipu got his power, took over the rule of all the worlds, and he was so powerful that it said that if those men he hired as teachers, when they were praising him, they said, "You are so powerful that when you raise your eyebrow, everyone is afraid. What is he going to do? He's so powerful. He didn't have to show his force." So this was his position. So then his son was born, and he put him in the school. Sunda and Amarka were the two teachers, and they were disciples of Sukracharya, a demon guru. So, guru of the demons. So then Prahlad was learning from these teachers all materialistic things, political, economical, getting ahead in this world. That these, you should make allies and you should make enemies, and you should try to get ahead in this way and become powerful and enjoy economic development and sense gratification. So he didn't like any of it, because he was already fully Krishna conscious. Then, on two different occasions, his father called him affectionately. Even demon is also affectionate to his own children. So his son made obeisances. He looked down at his son, was so nice. A young boy making obeisances. So he, "Come on, put him on my lap." And he was crying with so much affection. "My dear son, you're in school now. Tell me, what is the best thing you've learned in school?" So Prahlad said, "Oh, best of the asuras, there's nothing best in school, but the best thing I've learned is that a person should quit this material world and go to the forest." This part of this was quoted here. "Hit vama patam griham andakupam." go to the forest, like Vrindavan, and take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Give up the material world. So the father heard this, and he laughed, disgust, and said, in this way, the intelligence of young boys is polluted. Where has he learned this? So the teachers were very upset. They hadn't taught him anything like this. He said, we don't know. Maybe someone has come in to the school. All right, he said, take him back, but be careful. This is some kind of Vaishnava philosophy. Don't let any Vaishnavas come into the school in disguise. When Srila Prabhupada commented on that verse in the seventh canto, he describes how the devotees, in order to sell books, sometimes disguise themselves as Vaishnavas. Recently, this was being contested in Dallas at the state fair. There was a federal court decision. They were trying to keep the devotees out. The judge, he was pressed with so many precedents of our being able to do this by the First Amendment. He said, all right, you can go there, but you have to wear your robes, he said, when you go there. So this was a way of saying we could go, but saying we can't go. So we, on that occasion, we had to give all these arguments that this is not cheating. They said, well, if you want to preach, then why don't you dress like your religion? He said, well, we would, but unfortunately, the situation is that we can't preach. We are meant to preach, not to dress. And we cannot preach in this dress because of the contaminated Kali Yuga. We cited some reference aside from this one. There's another one. There are several where King Prataparudra could not approach Lord Chaitanya as a king, so he changed his dress and was able to approach him. And there's another verse when the sannyas is being described. It says, as sannyas, he is supposed to carry the kamandalu, water pot, and danda. But he may wear these symbols or he may not wear these symbols or carry these symbols. So there's Srila Prabhupada comments that this is because, he said, in the Western world, the kamandalu is not very much appreciated. One walks around like this, he's regarded as too odd. Therefore, he said, a sannyasi, he may take this, or sometimes he may not take the dress of a sannyasi. Of course, a sannyasi, he's especially strict in his dress. When Srila Prabhupada asked me to form the library party, who traveled to the universities in 1974, if I was to join, one of the big questions was, well, how would I be able to do anything unless I dressed like the others? So we went to Prabhupada and asked him. At that time, no other sannyasis were wearing any other dress that I know of, and at least one was refused sannyas because he would... anyway... there was hardly any precedent for it. So, but he answered it very simply, and he said, we are not interested in dress, we are interested in service. So, in the same way, this point was made, that the Vaishnavas may come in disguise. So what, is that cheating? Of course, we didn't say this to them at the time, but actually, so what if it is cheating? There is a saying by Chanaka Pandit that when an honest man deals with a cheater, then he has to act as a cheater also. If somebody is very sly, you have to act very sly. Why? Then you become a cheater? No, for preaching you have to do that. Why should we be fools? We're not cheating because we're giving Krishna. But if in order to give Krishna, we have to so-called cheat in that way, because, and that we don't do anything illegal, that has already been decided by our society, ISKCON GBC bodies, that nothing illegal can be done. But there's nothing illegal about Sankirtan. There's nothing Lord Chaitanya said to do Sankirtan, and there's nothing illegal about anyone wearing whatever dress he likes. Who ever heard of such a law? That because you're a Jew, you have to wear a dress like this. Because you're a black man, you have to dress like this. Hare Krishna, you have to dress like this. So, anyway, this was warned by Hiranyakashipu. So then he took the boy back, and they taught him like anything, and they punished him when he didn't say the right things. But he was always peaceful, protected by Krishna, not disturbed. Then he was brought back again to his father. We think the boy is better now. So his father was very glad to see him again, took him on his knee, said, "What is the best thing?" And Prahlad replied, "Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnus, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmani, vedanam, iti pumsarpita vishna, bhaktis chenna vilakshina, kriyeta bhagavata yada, tanmanyeditam, uttamam." These nine processes of devotional service constitute the perfect education. This is the best thing I've learned. Whoever knows these, he's the most learned and valuable person in society. Then his father became so mad, he said, "Kill us, kill him." He wanted to kill his own son. He threw him from his lap. See the picture. Threw him from his lap, kill him. So they took him, and he was put in the hands of demons and persons who tried to torture him and tried to kill him, but he couldn't be killed. He was protected. Even Hiranyakashipu could see he had a very powerful son. He couldn't be killed. They tried. They put him under an elephant's foot and put him in the pit of snakes, put him in the freezing weather. And as far as Hiranyakashipu could see, somehow or other, he was protected. Somehow or other, he was protected. So then he said, "You're very, very powerful. What can I do?" Again, Sandanamarka approached him and said, "Let us take him back again. After all, he's just a child. Even if he's powerful, it doesn't make any difference. And if we teach him, eventually we'll bring him under the control of our spiritual master. Just let us work with him. Don't mind, since we can't kill him." So again, he was taken back. And it's in that condition that he gave his instructions. More or less, they had to resign themselves, just like with the Krishna consciousness movement. They tried one time when they, in Mayapur, when our movement was attacked by the Muslims, then it turned into a big reverse against them. And an all-devotee or all-Hindu kirtan was formed by Jayapataka Maharaj and the others there, in which, how many people took part? 12,000? No, huge number. So many thousands and thousands of people took place, and the earth was shaking with the kirtan, and all the Muslims became afraid. And so Prabhupada said, when they attacked us, they thought they were digging up some garter snake, but as they unearthed us, he said, they saw it became a big python. So then you have to just, when the enemy is so powerful, you cannot do anything. So the Krishna consciousness movement cannot actually be stopped. The demons are beginning to understand that. And then they're thinking, well, now, how can we accommodate them so they don't take too much? But we realize we cannot stop them. So they said, all right, we'll let Prahlad teach, stay in the school. But the Vaishnava is, give him an inch and he takes a mile. As soon as the teacher left the class, he would begin to preach to his boys, friends, and they were receptive. And so this is the philosophy in many, many verses, this chapter and the next, what Prahlad learned in the womb. So when he began, Ko Maram Acharat Pragyo, he said, "You young boys like me, you should learn Krishna consciousness right away. Life is meant for learning Krishna consciousness," as he said to his father. So start while you're young, while you have health, while you have vigor, and while you're not entangled in family life. And then for a number of verses, he stressed this uselessness of expanding family life or sense gratification. Family life, grihamedi, is taken as the epitome of this. Prahlad gave the example that first a boy becomes attracted to a girl, and a girl becomes attracted to a boy. Then there is union, and by sex, a hard knot is formed between them. They become very attached because of the sex. They want to get married and then have children. And then working hard also for supporting, and then wanting some social recognition. This is what's behind this, getting ahead, one family next to another, is that I'm working so hard to support my family and making money. Why should I not be recognized? So one wants to become the president or the popular person, get a big house, so they can be recognized for his passionate work. So in this way, one becomes very much entangled. To get such a person to understand, to give up material life is practically impossible. It's compared to, Prahlad uses an example of a silkworm inside the cocoon. The people who work with this, they know that the silk that you get, it's formed by a worm who makes a cocoon around himself. So if that worm wants to get out of the cocoon, he can't get out. The only way he can get out is he has to be cut out. So you can't get a householder out of his family situation either. Also, the example is given by Prahlad, the blind well. The blind well. That is, blind well means that you can't see it, that there's a well there. Some abandoned field where there used to be an active well. Now everything is gone and the grass has grown over it and no one knows a well is there. And it's in a remote place. So if you walk away off there and you fall in to the bottom of the well, who will hear your cries? How a desperate situation. You can cry for help, but no one will hear you. So how does that analogy work? That you got yourself into this family situation. You very passionately worked to raise the family and become a big man. Now if you start complaining, oh, this is terrible, you can't complain. You have, this is your responsibility. This is useless. So, while you are young boys, become brahmachari and learn Krishna consciousness. Then, if you get married also, it will not be a blind well. It will be another spiritual order, grihastha. So our preaching to the world is like that. Of course, nowadays, they are so shameless that they're taking sex pleasure without even family life. But that is also a blind well. He may say, oh, I'm not in a blind well, I'm a playboy, described here. I go for one girl after another, so I'm not entangled. No, you're so helplessly entangled. Yan mai tunari grihamedi sukhami tuchcham. The grihamedi, or playboy, sex monger, he thinks that the real goal of life is sex pleasure. Yan mai tunari grihamedi sukham ituchcham. Nateyavadu svartakatim hi Vishnu. He doesn't know that the real goal of life is Vishnu. So whether one is family man or playboy, if he's attracted to this, antanta gobir vishatam tamishram, punak punas charvita charvananam, chewing the chewed. So many nice examples. These are all coming from the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Chewing the chewed. In India, they chew often on the sugar cane. So if you sometimes they have these grinders too. They grind the sugar cane, and you can get a glass of sugar cane juice. So they wheel it around to different places. So then sometimes when they go away from some street corner, you see lying there all the refuse cotton cane, not cotton, sugar canes that have been ground on this machine. So if somebody comes and says, oh, there's some sugar cane, and picks it up and tries to eat it, there's nothing there. Every last ounce has been squeezed out of it. So something that has already been done, this sex pleasure, since time immemorial, has been tried. And you've also tried. And you haven't got satisfaction. You've tried in your past life. You've tried to enjoy sex as a monkey, as a pigeon, as every kind of a living being that can enjoy sex life. And you haven't got that satisfaction yet. You're still wandering. So now you're going to try it again. the material doll is the same thing. Whether you try in this variety or that variety, it is simply the same object. And there is no pleasure there. But they keep trying. So such a person, he can never be Krishna conscious. This is the idea. Before you get entangled, before you become a playboy or a householder with all these children and grandchildren and just caught up like that, because then it's practically too late. You better take to Krishna consciousness. Matirna Krishna paratakshvatova, you know, povitayeta grihavatanam andantakobhirvishatam tamisram punakpanas charvita charvananam. When later or earlier, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, all right, so always talking Krishna consciousness, very smart, very powerful. Why don't you tell me about Krishna consciousness then? What is it? And then Prahlad said, Matirna Krishna, Puratakspatova. You can't understand Krishna, not you. Because Andanta Kobir, your senses are uncontrolled. You're always chewing the chewed. And if I taught you, or if a committee taught you, or if you went and took courses, you'd never be able to understand. First, you have to give up sense gratification. You want to learn Krishna consciousness, then give up sense gratification. Krishna consciousness is easy. We say easy for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. It cannot be learned by someone who at the same time is intent on all sinful activity. Isn't that possible? Therefore, we are in a position to chastise all religionists who say that they're following God or love God, but they're engaged in sinful activities. This is a Krishna-conscious person. We do this. We ask them, you don't have to chant Hare Krishna and join our movement, but you're nonsense, and you should follow the teachings of your religion. Thou shalt not kill. Don't commit adultery. Otherwise, you can't be God-conscious. Punak punas charvita charvananam. They're doing this, actually. Yan mai tunadi griyamani sukami tuchcham. Every so-called religionist, he still thinks that the pleasure of life is family life, and in family life, the center is sex life. His wife means sex life. And that's the center of his home, means wife. A sannyasi, he may live in a house. Sometimes he lives in a big house, sometimes no house. But there may be some time he's living in a big house. But he doesn't have a home. His home is Krishna's shelter. But home means a wife. Lord Shiva, he has no house, but he has a home, he has a wife. This is the definition of home. But unlike Lord Shiva, the Grihamedi Sukham Mituchcham. Lord Shiva's Sukham is Krishna consciousness. But the Grihamedi Sukham is his wife's body. And he's going around that. Griha. There's another thing in India. You still see it, and they have it on our farm in Mayapur. The bull crushes the grains. So they put a pole, and the bull has to walk around that pole. He's tied to the pole, and he crushes the grains. So in the root of that word is something like griha. The center, the book. The street is to expand.
That pole is also called the street?
Maybe. It is? But there's something with griha for the center. So he's going around and around. So the griha medi, he's going around and around. He has many activities. We saw on the plane so many businessmen coming into Chicago, out of Chicago. Up here, and someone was saying, hey, I'm going to Alberta, then I'm going to this business deal, that business deal. They're going around, so many things are going on, but what is the center of it? Money making. Or what is the center of that? Sex life. Passionate activities. So as the bull is going around the center of the pole, always, all the activities of the Grihamedi are going around this. Sense gratification, and the chief sense gratification is that. So how much he is stressing that these things are entangling for a person who's after self-realization, and then all right, then I don't care about self-realization. Then he points out that if you waste your life without this self-realization, then it is simply doom. And you'll have missed the chance of human life and go back into the species of life again and again. So our position as devotees is, this is a stiff message for the non-devotee, but we try to preach it, and we have an attractive program also, that you can give up these things and you still can live nicely. It is the attachment to sense gratification, to the enjoying mood, which is condemning, not having a wife or having a child. Prahlada is a child. He's teaching children. It's not that you condemn children. You don't condemn a wife. Lord Shiva has a wife. But the center of that kind of family life is Krishna. So whether one is able to remain brahmachari, which is best, or one enters the grihastha ashram after this training in celibacy, there's no difficulty. Everything is there for one's happy life, but it's done in service to Krishna. Vishayavanivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param vishvanivartate. He has a higher taste and he can give up sense gratification. Grihastha, he has a certain license that sex can be used by him in Krishna's service. But other than this, this very thing will throw one down into the material pool. So we preach this by example, and when we meet someone, give them a book like this, or tell them this philosophy of regulated life and even sense enjoyment to be regulated according to human standard. This is the platform. So we'll read more verses tomorrow. Are there any questions? He says, keep aloof from these kind of people. He describes these people and he says, you keep aloof from them and take shelter of the Lord. This is very detrimental if we associate with these people. Yes?
Arjun, in the household of ashram, you're associating with a woman, households, men and women are associating together, so how is it that you can avoid attachment and still make advances, because one of the offenses of chanting by name is attachment to material things?
Well, there's a process to become gradually detached. That grihastha means that you can live with a wife for some time, then toward the end of their life, they should both be culturing Krishna consciousness, that by their association, it is actually a sublime relationship, that the two people are very good friends and associates of each other to create their mutual liberation. It is actually very nice. There's some praise of the grihastha ashram somewhere in the Bhagavatam where the man describes it as like a fortress against sense gratification. Is what. So how does this wife protect him against sense gratification since she's a woman? No, because this woman agrees to serve him in Krishna consciousness under the instructions of the spiritual master. He agrees to protect her in terms of Krishna consciousness. Although she's a woman, although he's a man, they're protected from all other men and women with the sense gratification mood, and whatever there is there in their own consciousness of attachment, that will gradually be turned into Krishna conscious attachment. So it's a program, it doesn't happen overnight. But this is what you should be striving for. Otherwise it's grihamedi. Now I've got my wife, I become attracted to her for sense gratification, and I become attracted to him because he's providing me material necessities. Then it's grihamedi. But although there is some material desire to begin with, living together, if they're sincere, they'll culture this detachment in a kind of Krishna conscious alliance. So they become very good friends in Krishna consciousness. And then, with the proper understanding, there's no difficulty. You may take sannyas at the end or not, but they'll be detached. The potency is there in Krishna consciousness to do this. As strong as that attachment is, attachment to Krishna is higher. Then one will think eventually, well, how could I be attached? In love, actually, they'll say, this body is just a body made of stool. You cannot be attracted to this body. And I cannot think that you're my protector. Krishna is my protector, not my husband. But they will humbly recognize the need to stay together until they become perfectly detached. Become a little Krishna conscious and you see that it can easily be overcome. In other words, the marriage is meant to overcome it. Such a scientific idea. Not everyone can just turn his back and say, I'll never involve myself with a woman. So there's a system how you can get involved with a woman in such a controlled way that you the same end is reached. But you have to follow this system. Not think, well, there are certain restrictions within Krishna conscious marriage, but to the degree that there aren't restrictions, we will indulge in that. Looking for the sense gratification that's allowed is also not good, and you may not succeed, just as it says, on a royal highway there are still accidents. It's a nice system, but you have to use it, stress the nivritti. Don't stress the poverty. That, oh, as a householder now I can enjoy so much nice, sumptuous prasadam and associating with my wife. But it's a perfect system if it's not abused. The wife and the family will make you Krishna conscious.
So you're saying that the husband and wife, they live together until they're detached. Does that mean that a man can't take sannyas until he's detached?
No, he can't take sannyas until he's detached.
I thought the final process was helpful was 9 years in detachment, and then you're gradually becoming detached.
Yeah, vanaprastha is an earlier stage of becoming detached.
So you actually can't take sannyas until you're detached?
No, that's what it means. If you're still attached, then how can you take sannyas? Then you go back to your wife. You take sannyas, go to Vrindavan, and take up with some other woman.
I understood how it said sometimes you must forcibly do it. Forcibly, you have to take
Well, sannyas. Forcibly or somehow, but you have to be detached.
There's another statement in
there. There are stages also.
In the 10th canto, Prabhupada, he was talking about the gopis in Vrindavan and all, and he was explaining how the gopis, even the gopis, are attached to their bodies and their husbands and their friends and their. All the paraphernalia in their homes, he said that because Krishna was the center, that allowed everyone to have a nice.
They're attached to their bodies because, in the sense that Krishna will be pleased to see us. There was no other attachment. Whatever they had, they were attached to it because it could please Krishna. That's not like material attachment. What is it called? Lust, lusty, but it's. Prabhupada explains that in the Nectar Devotion. We may use this word, but actually it is taken in a completely different way. The gopis being lusty means that they want to please Krishna's senses. So we can't think of them as being attached. They are eternal associates of Krishna. Yes, whatever we have, give it to Krishna. I may have to admit that I have certain attachments, but I should then give them up, bit by bit. The householder, he's only asked to give 50% of his income. Isn't it better to give 100%? Yes, but let him give 50%. He needs this other. But then the day may come that he'll give everything. Even if you're attached, you should render service. Yes?
Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj were discussing their household life, and they said the secret of household life was to always glorify Krishna, you know? And that's the whole thing, like you said, to center around Krishna. And
yeah, no, the Christians have that expression, the family that prays together stays together. So we don't mind, that's pretty nice. You chant Hare Krishna, and everyone will go back to Godhead. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing wrong with family life. In the morning, the family members may get together and chant Hare Krishna, and in the evening, they can chant Hare Krishna, and there's no obstacle to Krishna consciousness. However, if in your family life it becomes impossible for Krishna consciousness, then it can be abandoned. But if it's good and there is scope for that, then it's good. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he saw Shivananda Sen's wife was pregnant, how did she get pregnant? Obviously, they had sex. So did he become disgusted because he's always preaching against that? He said, oh, this is very nice. When your wife has a child, she may give the child this name. And yet when Chotahari Das just looked at a woman lustily, he was supposed to be renounced, so he was condemned. So act in your ashram properly, and then you can be right. The brahmachari should not sneer, oh boy, the householders are really getting it in this lecture. But it's anyone who's a playboy is getting it. Anyone who's attached to sex is getting it. So if the brahmachari is like that, just stay faithful to the instructions of the spiritual master in the varnashram and try to get out of this sex attachment. 50% liberation is there. Have any question, Kunja Bihari?
You were explaining how a householder could give all his income, how according to Rupa Swami that wasn't the standard he set.
Yes, it was the standard. He said give 50%. So he gave, he kept some of it with a grocer for emergencies. Anyway, what happened is he put it aside, but then he had to give it all. He gave some to the Brahmins, and then he set some aside. But then he was in jail, and he had to get out of jail to go to Lord Chaitanya, so he got it all back. So as far as, no, you're right, though. He taught 50%, but I'm saying specifically, as far as he was concerned, he finally gave it all. Sanatana Goswami, rather. No, that was Rupa Goswami's money. So, no, give 50%, that's all. Oh, so I said, but it's better to give 100. But he can give 50.
But how can he give 100 if he has expenses?
He can't until he ends his household life.
So if you're dedicating your life completely to Krishna service, then you're not considering 100%.
Yeah, you need some money for the family. So do that, and then. But if your energies are engaged fully in Krishna's service, then your home is just a temple anyway. It's not like 50% went for Maya and 50% went for the temple. But 50% went for your ashram temple and 50% went, if it's like that. No, you shouldn't think that if I spend anything as grihastha, it's Maya. But then you have to be sure that it is. It's not that in my ashram and there's all soda pop and everything in the refrigerator. And that's what the 50% goes for. But Prabhupada likes the idea of very respectable householders who can invite people into their homes. And sometimes householders, I know, they like to save a little money so that they can give for some project that they want to give, some Krishna conscious project that they want to give on out of their own feeling. They want to help the samadhi to be built in Mayapur or something like that. So that kind of is all right. But better to cooperate as far as possible with the community. But then I found that these 50%, they find very difficult to give, those who have some job. So if you can give the 50%, that's good. But you cited Rupa Goswami, then you have to follow. You can't say, Rupa Goswami said you don't have to give 100%, so I'm not going to give anything. When Atreya Rishi was his exemplary householder and our godbrother, he was preaching to the householders that that's their sacred duty, that 50%. So whatever they earn, first 50% has to go. And then whatever's left, then you try to live on that. Don't first get your car and your house and everything and then say, well, I had this. How could I give any this? I can't give 50%. Standard of living is so high. Even a karmi doesn't live like that. Whatever he gets, because he can't, maybe he doesn't have a good education or he's lazy or something, so he can't earn so much. But he has to live at that standard. He can't make a demand, well, I have to live uptown in the penthouse first. No, you only earned $100 a week. You have to live like this. So first give 50%.
That's before expenses.
Before, yeah, whatever you earn, then give it. You were saying, Rupa Goswami said give 50%. So if you make $100 a week, then give 50%.
Are you trying to establish a business?
Is
a lot recommended?
It's recommended that everyone preach.
If
one can preach, then he should preach.
Business related.
No, I'm just. There's nothing wrong with business, but one shouldn't think that that now I've taken Grihastha, so I have to enter business. If one, just like I was just talking to a brahmacharya the other day. He's traveling, Sankirtan, and he wants to preach, and he wants to do book distribution. But he admitted to me very regretfully that he's tried very hard, but he thinks he has to get married. So he was feeling so bad, and I assured him that this is all right. Many men will get married. He said, but I don't want to give up preaching. So I said, you don't have to give up preaching. So one shouldn't think like that now I have to give up preaching. So he became enlivened. That this knot has formed. He said I feel I have to get married, but I would like to continue preaching, and so I'll make my marriage like that. Marry such a person, or marry in such a situation that I'll be able to go on with my preaching. But if one also is thinking that he wants to do the business, then make sure it's business related. In other words, everyone will give approval for business, but we should be careful not to make the grihasthas in general think that they have to do business. They can travel and preach. Okay. God, all glories are promised.